three things. Thank you all for returning. We extend a warm welcome to all our new listeners here for the first time. I am Pastor John, welcoming our global audience of unchurched, self-study people, as well as those who are part of a church. For anyone looking for greater depths in God's Word, thank you all for listening. May you all be blessed of God. Last week, we learned we need to fully understand that we are talking about our present life and not what is to come in our resurrection and future state in heaven. Simply put, we are learning about our everyday life here on earth in these days that we live and what is expected of us as children of God, born-again Christians. Notice what we, in this life, arise from. We are talking about the rising out of sin's death. Therefore, we rise up out of sin and its eternal death, which is first started here in this mortal, sin-stained body. Once a person is saved in Christ, they are a heaven-bound eternal being. The People's New Testament tells us clearly how this all works. Plainly and simply put, we who are in Him, having shared His death, must share His eternal life. Mr. Barnes' comment is very telling as to why we only have the chance to repent and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior only in this present life. Meaning, receiving Him now is much better than. To find out more, listen to our previous episode titled The Believer's Freedom from Sin's Domination, Part 4, posted on April 21st. This week, our study is titled Exhortation for the Strong Not to Destroy the Weak, Part 1. Our scripture reads, Therefore, we must not pass judgment on one another, but rather determine never to place an obstacle or a trap before a brother or sister. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself. Still, it is unclean to the one who considers it unclean. For if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy by your food someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you consider good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God does not consist of food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For the one who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by people. From Romans chapter 14, verses 13 through 18. The first thing we want to note is the issue that Paul speaks of involves a food analogy. I have Jewish friends who still observe the food requirements of their Jewish faith. This means, by example, no eating pork for any reason. Today, we can reason why this is no longer an issue since pork cannot harm us as it could in biblical times. Trichinosis was a common disease that killed people which came from eating pork. Since we, today, have eliminated this threat, should we argue with those who still do not eat pork? Just what does that arguing do to our witness to such people? In short, we do not look good to others who do not eat pork or may observe us in the background. This poisons our witness. Those who observe us by word of mouth poisons our witness to those we have never met. Understanding this clearly is necessary for this study. Note also, there are many other issues as well. Verse 13 reads, "Therefore, we must not pass judgment on one another, but rather determine never to place an obstacle or a trap before a brother or sister." Today, if we argue the eating of pork with someone who has decided not to eat it, we are doing something we are not to do, placing an obstacle or a trap before a brother or sister. Worse, we are placing an obstacle or a trap before someone we have not even witnessed to yet, who is not saved. That is not a good place to be witnessing from in either case. How the apostle advises persons to be very cautious in the use of their Christian liberty. Learn thence that to use our Christian liberty when it may be an occasion of sin by laying a stumbling block before others, although we do not use it with an intent or purpose to make them stumble, is very sinful. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. As you can see, intent and action are diverse of each other. While an action may not be sinful, the intent behind that action may well be sinful. It is also true that an intent may not be sinful, but the action associated with the intent may well be sinful. The problem here is that can sound confusing. It can also be a reason why a person does not think they are sinning when in fact they are. Many people today disregard others when they think they are correct in their opinion. By example, I have no problem eating something other than pork if that is what a Jewish friend serves me. Yes, the food is great, but the friendship shared over a meal of any kind is really what eating together is all about, isn't it? If the answer to that question is yes, I have no problem giving up pork for one meal. The apostle's final determination concerning those meats which some of the Jews scrupled as unclean was taken away by our Lord Jesus Christ, that although the apostle pronounces that there is no meat unclean in itself, yet notwithstanding this, to him that esteems anything unclean, to him, as to the use of it, it is unclean. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. For our modern minds, it may be that the confusion continues. This confusing issue of clean and unclean meats was taken away by Jesus. How, then, is there still an argument of what is clean and what is unclean meat? Mr. Burkett answers that question when he said that although the apostle pronounces that there is no meat unclean in itself, yet, notwithstanding this, to him that esteems anything unclean, to him, as to the use of it, it is unclean. This is why we still have today those who believe eating certain meats, like pork, is considered unclean. Simply, this is what they have learned in their faith, and they observe it. By today's standards, is pork an unclean or unhealthy meat? No. And why? Again, today we know how to both prepare and cook it properly, so eating it is harmless. With that, I hope you can see how foolish arguing this type of subject is. All it amounts to is wasted time that could have been better spent witnessing to the same person who could also be unsaved, or helping a brother or sister surmount a problem. That is a far better use of time than arguing over what is considered clean and unclean. This can be confirmed with what tenderness the apostle directs all Christians to carry themselves towards their weaker brethren, even to the abridging themselves of their lawful liberty in the use of indifferent things, rather than give the weak an occasion of offense. If your brother be grieved with your meat, though no meat be unclean of itself, yet in eating it you do amiss for three reasons. 1. Because it is against the laws of charity so to act in things indifferent. If your brother is grieved, now you walk uncharitably. 2. Destroy not him with your meat, for whom Christ died. 3. Because eating thus with offense to the weak causes Christian liberty, purchased by Christ, to be evil spoken of before the world. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. The sum of the whole is this: to show how uncharitable, unsafe, and unchristian a thing it is to make such an undue use of our Christian liberty as may occasion our weak brother to fall or stumble. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkitt. If nothing else, notice Mr. Burkitt's final statement. To show how uncharitable, unsafe, and unchristian a thing it is to make such an undue use of our Christian liberty as may occasion our weak brother to fall or stumble. Mr. Burkitt speaks in the masculine because it was the social way of speaking in the 1700s when his commentary was written by him. With human ways aside, we can easily, today, read his quote this way: to show how uncharitable, unsafe, and unchristian a thing it is to make such an undue use of our Christian liberty as may occasion our weak brother or sister to fall or stumble. The question is, do we really want to be thought of as uncharitable, unsafe, and unchristian? Verse 14 reads, I know, and I am convinced in the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean in itself. Still, it is unclean to the one who considers it unclean. If a man really believes it wrong for him to eat meat, for him it is wrong, because it is wrong to violate his conscience. From Family Bible Notes of the Nazarene Users Group. To him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean, and therefore, though you can eat of it without sin, he cannot. From Robert Jameson, A.R. Fawcett, and David Brown Commentary, Critical and Explanatory on the Whole Bible, 1871. Again, we have more than one commentator telling us the same thing. Even if something is not wrong for us to do, if someone else believes it is wrong, then for him or her, it is wrong. End of discussion. In such a situation, we move on so not to injure our brother or sister or anyone unsaved. We need to be about witnessing and bring people into the fold of Christ than finding a moot issue to argue or anything else that could be used in similar fashion. Verse 15 reads, "For if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy by your food someone for whom Christ died." Notice the first sentence in verse 15. Meat is no longer an analogy or focus. It is anything we eat or may do. "For if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer walking in love." Did you notice how that first sentence is written? If a person has a problem with a brother or sister, so they are distressed because of what you eat, then it is you and not your brother or sister who is no longer walking in love. That right there is how we walk in sin in something that is otherwise not sinful for us. We are further encouraged. Do not destroy by your food someone for whom Christ died. That means, whether the person is saved in Christ or not, because every person is someone for whom Christ died. The address is to the Gentile convert. In the previous verse, Paul admitted that the prejudice of the Jew was not well founded, but admitting that, still the question was how he should be treated while he had that prejudice. The apostle here shows the Gentile that he ought not so to act as necessarily to wound his feelings or to grieve him. According to charity or love, that is, he would violate that law which required him to sacrifice his own comfort to promote the happiness of his brother. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Notice who this is spoken to. This address is to the Gentile convert. That's all of us who are not Jewish, meaning any Gentile convert. Paul admitted that the prejudice of the Jew was not well founded. But admitting that, still the question was how he should be treated while he had that prejudice. The apostle here shows the Gentile that he ought not so to act as necessarily to wound his feelings or to grieve him. This is good advice for us today in how we treat others, saved or unsaved. What is most important is that we associate and witness inoffensively to others. Now, here is where this gets complicated for modern men and women. According to charity or love, a person would violate that law which required them to sacrifice their own comfort to promote the happiness of his brother or sister. Also, a certain amount of this applies to those who are unsaved. For if you offend the unsaved, any further witness to them is unlikely if you cannot mend the offense. Notice further, with regard to eating meat, walk thou not charitably, provided you continue to eat it. Love to him requires you to abstain from it. Destroy not him by doing that which tends to ruin him or make him miserable. Christ endured the agonies of the cross to make him blessed. You, as a friend of Christ, redeemed with his blood, ought, if need be, to deny yourself for the same end. From Family Bible Notes from the Nazarene Users Group. If we deny doing something for the integrity of a brother or sister, how can that be painful to us? What? A person cannot give up pork chops for one meal? Even if it is painful to us, is that not like what Christ did for us? This is the whole point here. How our actions, what we do, witnesses to others. While a constant state of denial is not a good thing for us, certain denial at an appropriate time to accommodate someone is not a bad thing for us to do for another. It is a part of our witness to others. I have said for many years, there are three ways to witness to people: by what we say, by how we act, and by doing both, preferably both. Verse 16 reads, "Therefore, do not let what you consider good be spoken of as evil." Therein is the proverbial period on this discussion. However, let us examine this further to understand why. Do not so use your Christian liberty as to give occasion for railing and unkind remarks from your brethren, so as to produce contention and strife, and thus to give rise to evil reports among the wicked about the tendency of the Christian religion, as if it were adapted only to promote controversy. How much strife would have been avoided if all Christians had regarded this plain rule in relation to dress and rites and ceremonies in the church? We may be conscious that we are right, but an obstinate adherence to them may only give rise to contention and angry discussion and to evil reports among men of the tendency of religion. In such a case, we should yield our private, unimportant, personal indulgence to the good of the cause of religion and of peace. From Barnes, New Testament Notes. Notice the first sentence of Mr. Barnes. Do not use your Christian liberty as to give occasion for railing and unkind remarks from your brethren, so as to produce contention and strife, and thus to give rise to evil reports among the wicked about the tendency of the Christian religion, as if it were adapted only to promote controversy. Especially today, that is good advice. By established example, I should not knowingly eat meat before someone who believes it sinful to do so. However, it should be properly noted that this involves more than simply eating meat. There are many things today that for some are not sinful, and for others, such things are sinful. Yet, such things are clearly not sinful, though some believe they are. Is this at all clear? Do you understand that something you do or something you eat is not sinful until it causes another to stumble and fall into sinful actions? This is what the point is in the examination of this study. In relation to dress and rites and ceremonies in the church, we may be conscious that we are right, but an obstinate adherence to them may only give rise to contention and angry discussion and to evil reports among men of the tendency of religion. Yes, dress, rites, and ceremonies in the church are important to each church. However, if anything is turning unsaved people away, how important are dress, rites, and ceremonies so that a church enforces them at the expense of offense? Here is the bottom line. In such a case, we should yield our private, unimportant, personal indulgence to the good of the cause of religion and of peace. This is so we do not offend someone we are trying to witness Christ or minister to for helping them through a hard issue. Verse 17 reads, "For the kingdom of God does not consist of food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The following comments from Family Bible Notes from the Nazarene Users Group on verse 17 and following with verse 18 closes this study. The kingdom of God, His reign in the soul, and true obedience to Him do not consist in the observance or non-observance of distinctions between meats and drinks and other like outward things, whence it follows that on the side of both the weak and the strong there should be forbearance and kindness. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, it consists rather in being just, benevolent, and merciful, at peace with God, and one another, rejoicing in His government and in hope through grace of dwelling with Him forever in heaven. For the one who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by people. Next week, our episode is titled "Exhortation for the Strong Not to Destroy the Weak, Part 2. Just what does it mean when we are told, "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food"? Can our food, even the eating of it, destroy the work of God? Find out more. Join us next week. Play or download our episodes from one of our podcast hosts, or follow direct links to these platforms on our website under the podcast menu item. Details follow. All Bible quotes without a citation are from the New English Translation Free Version. We greatly appreciate our audience. We look forward to the return of all our faithful listeners, followers, and new listeners. Thank you all so much. We are very pleased to serve a diverse international audience. Please share our podcast with family, friends, and others you believe would find it a blessing. This study podcast is a wholly self-funded outreach presented by the Church of the Unchurched, an all-electronic, Boston-based outreach uniting the community of lost, searching, lonely, and forgotten in Christ. If you are visiting for the first time, welcome and God bless you. If you are unsaved, we truly hope you find God as well as receiving Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Please find a short link to our episode titled, How to Be Saved, at the bottom of any episode description. To learn more about us and who we are, give our episode titled, Introduction, About Us, Who We Are, a listen. In that episode, you will learn more about us, who we are reaching out to, our mission, vision, ministry, and more. Again, a short link to this episode is found at the bottom of any episode description. Find our website at https://thechurchoftheunchurched.org. Please type The Church of the Unchurched as a single word with no hyphens or spaces in unchurched. Also, because we are on a very secure European server, be sure you type the lead https://, as it is required. Be sure you include it in any bookmark you make. This will prevent security load errors. Our site is mobile, tablet, and desktop compliant. Our site also has links to many of our podcast platforms under the podcast menu item. We are found on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify, to name a few. We refresh all our feeds with every weekly episode upload on Sundays, East Coast Time, USA. These sites update our feed within 24 hours of our refresh. Our RSS feed is syndicated on many popular podcast RSS feed platforms. Find us on a preferred platform to follow us as we continue to grow. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Until next week, this is Pastor John for the Church of the Unchurched.